Hello and welcome to the latest edition of The Friday Fix, our weekly podcast on topical issues in the media, business and politics. I'm Justin Griffiths, a partner at Powers Court. And today we are looking at the subject of IPOs and, importantly, London's future position within global capital markets. Can we expect a rebound in IPOs this year after a challenging few months? How is London faring relative to the international competition? And will radical reforms proposed by the Financial Conduct Authority help make London more competitive? Well, to answer these and other questions, I'm delighted to be joined by Bod Buckby, Head of UK Primary Markets North at the London Stock Exchange. Good morning, Bod.
Morning, Justin.
And thanks very much for actually coming in person. We often do these digitally, so it's good to do one face to face. And look, the last time I saw you was about 3 weeks ago at the London Stock Exchange's flagship IPO forum. You've had a record attendance, about 1,000 private companies and advisors all keen to talk about going public. So lots of optimistic messages. But then if you read some of the recent commentary in the media, there's a bit of a different message being put forward. You know, deals are way down. And, you know, are the naysayers, you know, who are sort of talking down London versus others, are they getting a bit too much airtime, do you think? Sorry to hit you with a big question to begin with.
Look, that's a great place to start. Look, I think the first thing to say is that we as the London Stock Exchange, we see ourselves as an agent of change, and actually we've been advocating and pushing for a number of the reforms that you referred to there, and there are things about the market and the wider ecosystem that we want to see changed. So we're probably part of that conversation, and we understand that we're at the heart of that and doing lots to try and move that story forwards, whether it's through the Capital Markets Industry Task Force that we're chairing with our CEO, whether it's about shining a light on the reduction in allocations to UK equities from UK pensions, or about global exec pay level. You know, these are all issues that we think need addressing.
And we'll come on to a couple of those issues shortly, actually. But I think, just coming back to, I guess, the IPO pipeline for a second, you know, the prevailing view is that, you know, macroeconomic geopolitical challenges, you know, the war in Ukraine, inflationary pressures, etc., you know, made, you know, the last 12 to 18 months pretty challenging for IPOs, and that the view is that's probably going to continue this year as well. But having said that, we're seeing green shoots, aren't we? You know, the latest, or one of the latest announcements, is WeSoda's intention to float. Proud to say a Powers Court client.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I can't take the credit. That's our industrials team, but well done them. And on listing, that would be a FTSE 100, which is great news. So how's the performance of that transaction in terms of its importance to ongoing sentiment and sort of helping give others the sort of the confidence to push forward with their own transactions?
Yeah, well, look, I think we've been waiting for a long time for these IPOs that we could see in the pipeline start to come forwards, and with WeSoda, and now just this morning actually with CAB Payments, the global payments operator, launching their intention to IPO. It's interesting to think about why these are now starting to come through, and part of it is market valuations and the continued recovery that we've been seeing there. But part of it is also about volatility, and it's very difficult to price IPOs if you've got prices moving around substantially day by day in an unpredictable way. And volatility has really come down recently over recent weeks. So we're now at about 14 on the VIX, which is the measure that most use to look at volatility. And that's back now at the sort of levels it was pre-pandemic. And when you think that over 80% of IPO volumes take place when that level is below 20, you understand that, well, actually now companies are seeing of all to launch
window,
into.
Yes.
So we need to see how they go. You know, everybody will be watching carefully, but we wish them all the best.
Great. And, you know, sorry to sort of put a little bit of a downer on what is, I think, an increasingly positive message that you've just mentioned, but one of the business media's favourite topics at the moment is, you know, the New York Stock Exchange eating London's lunch, so to speak. You know, much has been made of the likes of Arm opting for New York over London. But is this as a bigger an issue as people are making out it to be?
Look, it's an issue we take incredibly seriously, and we look at in several ways. But two of those is, one, how are we performing in terms of issuance of capital versus our international competitors? And two, how are our markets set up? What's our regulatory framework, and how does that compare between the major international markets? So on that first point, the IPO markets have been quiet globally, actually, over the last 18 months, and in the US and the UK, that's been particularly so, but Europe as well. In the US, IPO volumes were down over 90% last year compared with 21, and this year are down a further 70% on the 90%.
Wow, okay.
So it has been a difficult IPO market on both sides of the Atlantic. I think when it comes to the regulatory reforms, what we are keen to do is, again, try and create a level playing field. And we think there's certain areas where that probably needs some attention.
I mean, you talked about the sort of relative performance of IPOs in the US and Europe and the UK. Now, I read an interesting comment from Patrick Hosking of The Times last month, who cited some surprising, in his words, research by Lazard on the performance of UK companies listed in the US. And the message to take from that, it seems, is that the grass isn't always greener. In fact, rarely so, according to that analysis. Of the 22 companies that Lazard looked at, only three were trading above their offer price. Presumably the LSE's own data tells a similar story.
Yeah, absolutely. So the data here is for all UK companies that have listed in the US through an IPO and raised $100 million or more. And the first thing to note is, and perhaps quite surprising, is that there's only been 22 of them in the last decade.
Yeah.
So that it's a relatively rare route. A number of those have subsequently delisted. But even removing those, if you look at the share price performance of those companies that are still listed in the US, it's 40% down on IPO price. So it's been a really difficult route for companies. And that, by the way, is excluding companies that have listed through a SPAC. And those companies have, on average, performed even more poorly. So it's a difficult route.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier around regulatory efforts to increase London's competitiveness. Now, the FCA recently published its consultation on reforms to simplify the listing rules in the UK. That was seen by some as being sort of too complicated and onerous. There were reports that that was one reason why SoftBank, Arm's parent company, opted for New York over London. Now, so what are the key changes being proposed, and do you think they'll achieve their objectives?
Look, I think one of the key strengths of the London regulatory environment, looking back over several decades, has been recognised as London's comply or explain approach to corporate governance. And what we've been hearing from many of our listed issuers on our markets is that a little bit of that is perhaps being lost. And that we've drifted a little bit more towards a comply or else regime. And the reason for that is around the way that fund managers are being asked to vote, the role of the proxy agents, the difficulties that they have in considering voting against the recommendations of the proxy agents. I think what's really interesting about the FCA consultation that they launched last month is that their vision for a much more disclosure-led approach, whereby companies will be able to say, this is what we want to do, and then fund managers will be able to either invest or not make the investment decision based upon an assessment of risk and an assessment of the company and its team and all of the relevant situation and information surrounding it, rather than it being a rules-based approach set by a regulator trying to cover every eventuality over the next several decades. So it's a fundamental shift, but I think a positive one.
Okay, and in a similar vein, what else is being done or can be done to put the public back into initial public offering? You know, are we doing enough to encourage retail participation in IPOs, do you think?
This is something that we care hugely about, and in fact we invested in a retail share ownership platform called Primary Bid, which helps to allow retail investors to participate in capital raisings by companies, and there have been several other platforms set up to do similar things since. And if you look at what's happening in other markets, you look at the growth that we've seen in the UK as well as in the US and elsewhere about retail involvement and the liquidity that that brings, that's hugely important for companies and for institutional investors to see greater liquidity coming through the markets.
This part of the conversation wouldn't be complete if we didn't talk about political intervention, particularly in the run-up to the next general election. But Labour are already out there, aren't they, in saying that they're prepared to force pension funds to invest in this proposed £50 billion future growth fund. Rachel Reeve said that we're trying to do capitalism without capital. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I think that we're, in a way, we're all trying to push towards the same thing, which is to have a healthy, buoyant UK equity market, which is an attractive place to invest UK pension assets. And you know, we've done a lot over recent months to actually shine a light on the reduction in the level of investment which has taken place over the last two decades from UK pension funds into UK equities. And we think actually there's a huge opportunity in reversing that. In terms of the mechanics and how that works, that's going to be partly a political process. We need to see what is announced over coming weeks. But I think, you know, we're really optimistic that the mechanisms are there to make this work and make it attractive.
Okay, and you know, staying on that line just for a sec, I know the London Stock Exchange's own chief executive, Julia Hoggett, suggested that another way that perhaps we could boost London's competitiveness, and particularly where the retention attraction of talent is concerned, is to pay our executives more. But in an environment where, you know, we're seeing sort of increasing shareholder rebellions against executive pay plans, is that sort of thinking really realistic?
Look, I think what we are saying is less about, look, let's just pay more. I think what we are trying to highlight are some inconsistencies and anomalies in the way that those decisions are currently being taken. So we recognise that large global businesses have got the choice of where to list. Pay is clearly going to be a factor in those decisions. And what we have currently is a different set of decision-making and recommendation-making policies in the UK to exactly the same business, promoting exactly the same remuneration packages if it were listed in the US, and quite often, you know, being voted on by exactly the same global fund managers.
Yes.
So why is that? Why does that make any sense? And so I think what we're advocating is for a conversation about how those policies are set and how they're voted upon.
Brilliant. Well, look, thank you, Bod. Really interesting chat, as always. You know, I think to sum up, correct me if I'm wrong, but the message around London's market position versus the rest of the world is far more nuanced and indeed encouraging than some might have led us to believe. You know, clearly the macroeconomic, geopolitical events of the past 18 months have weighed heavily, but perhaps it's time to stop talking London down as a financial hub. We've got plenty to feel positive about.
Yeah, well, we're really excited.
Great. Well, thanks very much, Bod. And I think that brings us to the end of the latest edition of the Friday Fix. So thank you, everybody, for listening.